and welcome to Mike's Camera Action. I'm Carl.
Where was the bum 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 bum?
Did I fade it out too early?
You don't have telekinesis, it's fine.
I just wasn't looking at the laptop today. I also turned it on too early. I also turned it on too late, so we didn't get the click sound. It just faded into
all my audio editing for nothing.
We worked really hard on that intro.
Yeah.
We really did. I really like our intro. I would hate to try and replace it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That means a lot to me.
Yeah. Come on, we worked hard. This is also Alex, by the way.
Yeah, hi, I'm Alex. Hello.
Just in case you're 61 episodes in and haven't learned who we are. But this week...
Wait, 61 episodes, really?
Yeah, this is our 61st. Oof. Yeah, I know, right? We've gone way further than most.
We've gone way further than I thought we were ever going to go.
I know, right? There's like more episodes of this than maybe My Dad Wrote a Porno minus footnotes.
If only we were that quality.
Oh, if only we were that good. that higher gimmick,
yeah.
That charismatic. I mean,
Speak for yourself. Really
made that much money, had that many fans.
Hello, I'm Alex. Please give money.
Send money. I'm poor.
Hi, poor. I'm Alex.
All right, Dad.
I'm not your real dad.
This is you.
You're older than I am.
Yeah, I am. Anyway, this week we're talking about Matilda.
Yeah, because it's Denny December.
For the 2 weeks we have of December.
Yeah, for the 2 weeks we have of December.
Very short amount of time.
Oh, like Danny DeVito.
Wow, that's actually perfect.
Boom, boom, bang.
Can we put down the tagline? Can we put down our promo stuff?
Short like Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Yeah.
MCA December, short like DeVito.
Yeah.
There is actually a scene that really makes him super fucking short in this movie, which is right when we are introduced to Ms. Trunchbull.
Yeah.
How it's just like Danny DeVito and her, and she's like, appears like an 8-foot-tall monster, and he's 2. Like,
yeah. He's like reaching up and she's like shaking his hand in the silhouette and all that.
I was kind of messaging you about this last night when we were deciding, you know, to do Matilda. And I haven't seen this movie since I was maybe 7 years old.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, 2 decades ago, like across 2 decades, you know. Fuck, this movie's funny.
Yeah.
This is really funny. Like stuff that was really lost on me as a kid.
Yeah, this film is like really clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I really like this. It's directed by...
It's directed by Danny DeVito.
Yeah, it's directed by Danny DeVito. That's why I wanted to make sure we did Matilda, because unlike a lot of other things where he's just an actor, this, I think he also helped write it.
I think so. He definitely had a producer credit and a directing credit.
Yeah, so because of that, it's Danny DeVito. Like, what more do you need?
He's a funny dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, speaking of, like, I brought up earlier, My Dad Wrote a Porno, there was a footnotes episode where they, like, interview a celebrity who's a fan of the show, and they had Mara Wilson on, who's the girl who played Matilda, and she was talking about how Danny DeVito's, like, her, basically like her uncle now. Like, they still talk every other day. So he seems like a super, he seems like really sweet the way he like, he's such an asshole in his character in this film, but he seems like such a nice guy off the camera.
Oh yeah. Like that's the big thing, is that on camera is like, oh, off camera is like, oh
yeah, he's so sweet, which is kind of a running theme with him. He kind of plays asshole characters.
Yeah.
Like, we were watching LA Confidential the other week. That's the same deal. Like, he's a bit of a scumbag in that movie. In this, massive scumbag. Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Everyone's a scumbag. Like, come on.
When we were talking about Mara Wilson, it reminded me of a tweet that Mara Wilson put out.
Yeah.
And, like, Mara Wilson's Twitter is, like, pretty solid.
Yeah, I haven't actually checked it out, actually.
Oh, she's pretty funny on Twitter, actually.
Okay.
Because she was like, hey, who's your favorite short, half-Irish, half-Jewish, but secular, dark-haired, light-eyed, former child actor with a severe nickel allergy who played the title character from a beloved British children's book about a child with magic powers? Me, right? Damn it, Radcliffe.
That's wow.
Yeah, that is
such a fucking stretch.
And then she was like, he's actually probably a cool guy. I just find the coincidences really weird.
Yeah. Wow. That stacks up.
Yeah, no, Mara Wilson's Twitter is pretty good.
Yeah, she seems like a really funny and really, really sweet person now.
Yeah, and also what she was saying about how Danny DeVito took her in while her mum was in hospital and even showed her like a cut before it aired, before it was released to her mum, who died before it was released.
I know.
Yeah, but Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman were looking after her during that. So that's like really nice.
Here's my acting parents, and here's my parents who are on screen, who are the same people,
but just completely
different. Worse.
My favorite, like, the thing about this film, right, is that it takes a lot of qualities that you see in like Roald Dahl films and books.
That's the thing that really, really stands out in it, is that it, like, the visuals look the way that his books read.
Yeah.
You know?
So Trunchbull is gigantic.
Yeah.
I looked up if you actually watch like how, like, they recreated the scene where Bruce eats the chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Like last year.
Oh.
Yeah, they all had like a reunion or something. They sat him down and ate the cake.
Great scene, but go on.
But it's a cupcake.
Oh, okay.
It's a cupcake because that guy's actually like pretty jacked now, and it's pretty impressive.
Oh man, he pulled the one kid from It. Just goes from being the fat kid to being fucking huge.
Yeah. Like, not jacked, but like fit.
But looking good.
Yeah. And yeah, she's not that tall. I was like, how tall is she? Because like in my mind, she's just a giant.
Yeah. Well, there's a scene right at the end when she's leaving where she does actually look really small when all the kids are standing up to her.
Yeah.
So they really take, like, it. I feel like there's a lot of forced perspective in this film.
Oh, yeah, and it works, it's done really well.
Yeah, and they kind of take that away the second the kids start rebelling, as
Yeah, like, as it, also, one, she smashes a plate of glass on that kid's head.
Yep.
And I never noticed.
Yeah.
She just straight up, he's holding up and she just smash onto
just
his head.
Just drops it down on him.
But, you know, it was interesting because the thing about it is that, like, a lot of Dahl things, like, even in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory,
yep,
adults are bad,
mm-hmm.
Except for Miss Honey.
Yeah, there's a good adult.
There's always, like, one or two.
Yeah.
You got Grandpa Joe, who's the real villain.
monsters like that, he's the Miss Trunchbull, obviously, the subhuman.
Yeah, so you've got that. The kids are always right. He doesn't like greed. Like with the whole Bruce thing.
Yeah, that's very apparent.
It's like there's a few other things here and there where like kids are always right, but adults never believe them.
Yeah. Well, in this, they explicitly say it where it's got like the mentality of I'm right, you're wrong, I'm big, you're small.
Yeah.
I'm smart, you're dumb.
Yeah, and like Roald Dahl is definitely not a fan of that. And that's why I think like a lot of his books tend to resonate with children.
Oh, yeah, big because, time. Like, I used to love reading his stuff as a kid.
Yeah, because so did I. Like, because it's like the children are right, but no one ever believes them, and it like reflects stuff in their life because like they'll be saying something and adults are going, no, you don't.
Yeah, exactly. It's appealing to those kids who are like dismissed as a kid. Like, dismissed by adults, parents, like people of authority. It speaks up to that idea of like he's got that moment where Matilda's father says, people need to be punished when they do bad things, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And she says, "Well, then adults can be punished too, right?"
Yeah,
and it kind of appeals to the kids of like, oh, you know, adults are just as fallible. They can do bad things too. They can, you know,
and like even the narrator picks up on that, and he's like, he meant to say children. He should have said children should be punished, but Matilda took that mean everyone.
Yeah. Meaning parents could be punished by their children, too.
Remember, only Sith deal in absolutes.
It's all relative.
Matilda is a Sith?
Well, I believe it with those force powers.
You got all the force powers? Although she never does force lightning. It's mostly just movement. Not even mind tricks, just like movement.
She's like one stage away from choking people, you know.
Yeah,
that's
true.
The next elevation. Like first you learn to move things with your mind, then you start applying force with your mind.
True. Can she lift up an X-wing?
I mean, she can make a child do flips through the air, and she can lift up about a billion things at once. Like you saw her picking up a whole deck of playing cards.
Oh, true.
And spinning them around the room.
I think she maybe focused more on many objects than lifting heavy things.
Yeah. Well, she does lift one kid, so maybe eventually she could learn to throw Miss Trunchbull around the room.
Yeah, lift up that X-Wing. Away from Star Wars.
It's on the brain, okay? It comes out soon.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that reminds me, the other thing that's like really apparent in Roald Dahl's stuff is that he doesn't like TV.
Oh, yeah.
And you see that because her parents are all watching TV and like that weird money-grabbing show where you're covered in honey.
There's like three moments from this movie that really stuck out to me and that I've perfectly retained for all of the years it took for me to go from seeing it last time to seeing it now. And those are the kid eating chocolate cake.
Yeah, that's iconic though.
The moment watching that game show of just someone going like in a booth getting money dropped over him going, "Let's get sticky." That whole scene just, I don't know why, that was really I don't know what was so disturbing about it as a child, just the flashing lights, the sounds. And then the moment where she Ms. Trunchbull looks under the table and Matilda's like holding up onto the bottom, like stuck to the top of the table, like hiding from her. It's those, for some reason, just those three parts were like perfectly ingrained in my memory.
Yeah. It's got some like really good like shots that stuck with me. Like the thing with the chokey.
Yes.
I remembered that like.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
And once again, like they do the great visual of like the way you picture it in your head with like his language is what you see with the chokey, where it's got like bent nails that like stick into it, and the there's like a really weird wonkiness and cartooniness to things.
Also, the bit where she hammer throws a child,
yes, just
by her pigtails,
dude. That is amazing. That one I remember also very well. Just the "Are you a piggy?" and then fucking yeets her over the fence.
Yeet. Is she gonna make the fence,
dude? She's gonna murder a child.
Like, Jesus Christ, this is like 15 minutes into the film.
Also watching it now, my favorite line in the entire film is in that scene where Ms. Trunchbull and Danny DeVito's character meet and he's selling her a car. And she says, "Our school's motto is use the rod, beat the child." And I was like, wow, that's oddly blunt, but I love it.
Yeah.
It's got like, you know, every school is like a pretentious motto that's like, "Ah, yes, hold fast to traditions," or like, you know, whatever, like, you know, something about like motivating children,
truth
or
and
like
purity or something.
Yeah, and this one's just—it's got nothing to do with education or discipline or anything of value. It's just use the rod, beat the child. It's so perfect. It adequately describes that entire school.
Yeah, it does. That school's really violent. And also, like, the building to it, because it's, like, a very ominous building.
It looks like a prison,
yeah,
is what it does. It's got, like, a big wire fence around it. Or, like, actually, no, it's more like a metal slats fence.
Yeah.
But then the thing's, like,
it's a big, monolithic building.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Monolithic is the only way to describe it. It looks like a Soviet It looks like a Soviet gulag. Like, just this, you know, Soviet-era 80s block.
Yeah, it's just like a single building that's like four stories high or something.
Yeah, it's like rain-weathered concrete. It looks terrible.
Also, you know what really still weirds me out? True. Is that Matilda just finds adoption papers in a book and keeps them?
I don't know what the deal with there was, but you know what? Smart. She wanted to be adopted. She was ready to go at any minute. She had the papers printed and ready to go.
Yeah, also, yeah, that's super, super weird.
What, that she wanted to be adopted?
No, not the fact. Oh, no, I was just thinking about all the speedboat salesmen.
The speedboat salesman's one of my favorite recurring jokes in this.
Yeah.
Where he's, right at the end, they keep doing all this, like, speedboat salesman bullshit. And then right at the end, Danny DeVito just says, "Come on, get in the car. We got to beat the speedboat salesman to the airport." It's fucking brilliant. He still thinks they're speedboats. It's so good.
Yeah, because she told the cops are watching the thing. The cops are outside.
Yeah, just the FBI is sitting there. I love the FBI, the FBI agents sitting in the car outside where they're like, at one point she passes them and they're just eating McDonald's.
Yeah, they're just eating burgers and like they have like napkins tucked in.
Yeah.
And he's like, "There's no lakes around here."
It's so good. And then when Danny DeVito's kicking him out and he's like, "What do you mean they're cops?" The guy sticks his foot in the door and says, "Do you want to buy a timeshare?" It's so good.
It's like, what? Like, no, they don't question the fact that speedboat salmons are just sitting outside their house.
Yeah, exactly. At all hours, watching them.
It's like all these car parts are just outside because they're stolen.
And the part where Danny DeVito is putting the car parts into his boot, and they're all wrapped in brown paper packaging.
But one of them is clearly a muffler.
But they all look exactly like car parts, just tightly wrapped. Like, one is obviously a steering wheel. Yeah. One's very clearly... The muffler is perfect, where you can see, like, it wraps around the casing of it.
Yeah.
And then goes up the pipe. It's so perfect.
Yeah, it actually wraps around the pipe itself. Yeah. It's just a weird bent pipe. It's like, wait, why don't you have them delivered to the office? The cops are watching the office.
They're also watching you at home, you dumber.
That is not somewhere where you'd want to live.
It's not a safe place for a child.
But yeah, I liked all the kids in there and the fact that they're like, I like how they stand up, but yeah, to like Trunchbull. But I suppose that's like a Roald Dahl thing where you stand up against the adults.
Yeah. There is one note I have about this film that I want to bring up, which is Matilda's TK, like her powers, right? Yeah. You could really do this entire film without them, and it wouldn't really impact it that much. I feel like, if you just swap out, oh yes, she was telekinetic and can move things with her mind. If you just turn it into, she reads a lot of books.
But it's because she reads a lot of books that she becomes telekinetic.
Yeah, I know, but if you just add, like, some Home Alone book smarts and like,
oh yeah, have her like have strings attached to the painting rather than telekinesis.
Exactly, like if she were just playing a trick on Miss Trunchbull, like if you just swapped out telekinesis for just she pays attention and knows a few things here and there, you could get by.
Yeah, it's just like
swapping it out for she sneaks in through the window instead of pulling the doll with her mind, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Swap over Kevin MacLeod and Matilda. Could they exist? Could they live?
Kevin MacAllister. Yeah. I feel like if a whole bunch of knives came out of the kitchen towards the wet bandits, they would also just book it.
Yeah.
You really don't need to...
True, okay.
Yeah. If stuff started just flying off the walls in that house, they would have gone, well, it's haunted or that child's a monster. Let's leave.
To be fair, though, that Kevin MacAllister is a monster.
Kevin MacAllister is also a
monster. All those
traps
that aren't designed to be funny, they're designed to kill.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Those Let's paint cans aren't exactly friendly.
That or the blowtorch that, as we discussed last year, would have killed Harry.
Yeah.
Were you on the Home Alone episode?
I don't think I was.
No. Oh, shoot. We did a breakdown of all the injuries they would have suffered.
Oh.
Like, I found an article breaking down, like, here's what happens if you get hit in the head with, you know, a 12-pound paint can from that high up. But the worst injury was the blowtorch, which would have resulted in Harry needing a head transplant.
Oh, no. Oof.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, so Matilda, though,
yep,
could have survived. Kevin MacAllister? Probably would have gotten away with it, I think.
Yeah. Like, you could have played that either way. And, like, the powers are kind of secondary to the real plot.
Yeah.
Like, they're just kind of a device for her to punish authority, really. Like, they're just a way for the child to have a leg up.
No, yeah, I agree with that one.
It's, yeah.
It's definitely one of those ones where you get... the childs have to have a leg up somehow.
Yeah.
And, like, to be fair, like, she does use them in other circumstances, but not much.
Yeah. They're kind of like a later in the film twist to, equal the playing field, as it were.
Yeah. Like, they're big. She just got telekinetic powers that might be able to force choke you.
Yeah, I'm big, you're small. Yeah, well, I can move shit with my mind and you can't.
I have big brain.
I got the big Brian plays.
But yeah, no, I like Matilda because of that. Yeah, all the acting in this film is, like, really good.
Yeah.
Like, it's
and,
all...
And all very, like, somewhat exaggerated in a way.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I like. Because it's, like, with the Bruce Bogtrotter thing,
yeah,
you've got, like, oh, Cookie put her blood and sweat into this.
And I kind of believe it.
And then,
other things.
But then, like, Cookie, like, wipes her nose, like, with both hands?
No, yeah, she wipes her nose, coughs up a bit, and then as she's leaving later, she's scratching her butt.
Yeah, she's like, see you at lunch, kids.
There's like that revelation.
I wouldn't eat any of that food.
Exactly. There's just that moment where it's like, even the kids are going, oh no, that's who they've got in the kitchen.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this isn't good.
Everything about this school sucks, including lunch.
Yeah. Like, Trunchbull's got that... It's, like, really forceful.
Mm.
It's, there's nothing, like, that's not, like, really in your face. Even when she's being fake happy,
oh, God.
It's really aggressive.
Yeah. She is just the... Dude, Trunchbull is just the worst. Like, I can't picture a worse human being.
Let's see. No?
Use the rod, beat the child, Alex. Yeah, come on. She started a school based on that.
Yeah, true. But at least Miss Honey becomes the principal.
Yeah. So sweet. So just literally the best teacher. I couldn't imagine
better.
You
know what? It's all about who you know, not what you know.
Yeah. Wow.
It's nepotism. Yeah. It's her nephew, her niece.
Exactly. Well, it's also a case of keep your friends close and your enemies closer, Alex.
Yeah.
Just keep an eye on that woman.
It's like, I like how Miss Honey gets forced to live in a cottage.
Yeah. She doesn't get forced to. She fucking books it out of the house to that cottage.
True. I'd probably live in the cottage too.
Yeah. I think it's preferable to being around
to a haunted manor house.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's haunted.
Yeah, it's terrifying. The paintings fly off the wall. Also, she does not... She has very little respect for that house as well, as we see with her throwing a javelin indoors.
Yeah, don't throw javelins indoors. Also, I thought her thing was hammer throw.
It's hammer throw, shot put, and javelin.
Oh, basically the field events from track and field.
They talk about that when they introduce her. They say she was at the Olympics for shot put, hammer throw, and javelin. When she's being thrown out of the school, you can see they pass like a big portrait of her at the Olympics.
Yeah.
And that's the big sign over the top is Agatha Trunchbull, shot put, javelin, hammer throw.
Yeah.
It's also the three different like track and field items she has in her house. Like, she's got that giant closet full of shot puts. She's twirling the hammer throw around like trying to kill, like when she's going to murder somebody, and she's got the javelin stacked up in the room.
True. Yeah, you know what? You're not wrong, but don't throw javelins inside kids.
It's basically the three most weaponized
forms
of track and field.
That's the other thing. It's really aggressive. The only one that she doesn't do is discus.
Come on. Discus is like just track and field frisbee. There's nothing cool about a frisbee, Alex.
I mean, aren't they weighted?
They are. They're like a heavy clay, like...
Yeah, disc.
Yeah.
They're not like a plastic frisbee where you can just go whoop.
No, but it's just a heavy frisbee, Alex. Let's not get away from the fact that you've got shot put, a giant lead ball, hammer throw, a giant lead ball with a chain on it, javelin, a metal spike.
And then you've got discus.
Discus. A clay frisbee.
Yeah, fair. All right, fair cop then. All right, I stand. I bow down to your knowledge of Olympic
picture the image of Miss Trunchbull, okay? Terrifying giant woman that she is. Now picture her shot putting a child. Now picture her hammer throwing a child. Now javelining a child. Now discus.
You grab the child
by your... twirls around and throws it.
You grab the child by the head and then you like spin in the way that, like, have you ever watched discus?
Yeah.
How they spin. Similar to hammer throw, but not as much.
Hammer throw is just way more violent because it's arms out.
Yeah.
You got the rope. You're getting the full, like, twirling motion of it.
Yeah.
It's just, there's a little bit more elegance in discus, whereas hammer throw is like, this is all muscle, raw.
True. Like, yeah, that's the other thing. Like, hammer throw is, like, all those other sports, a bit more violent.
Like, those three have no finesse.
No.
Like, there's not much finesse in trying to throw a javelin 300 meters.
Yeah, true. Jesus, that's terrible. She's like the thing that's like the thing that scared me the most in this film, easily.
Mm. Yeah. Oh yeah. She's practically a horror monster in herself. Yeah.
It's like, how the hell do you get away with this? Like, terrifying kids.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like, put her in the chokey and it's just a box full of metal.
A steam pipe that's a bit leaking, jagged edges. It's awful.
It's like, why would you want to be there?
Well, of course you wouldn't, although it might be preferable to having to deal with her. Provided she's not in the chokey with you, it's fine.
All right, so I got an idea. Put Matilda in the chokey and she uses her telekinesis to, like, flatten everything.
It just makes it really nice and plush, pushes it all outwards.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, it's actually quite a nice closet when you get past everything else.
Yeah, you get the steam in and it's just a little sauna.
Oh, yes, very good for the pores.
Yeah, gotta exfoliate after that.
Also, one of my other favorite Ms. Trunchbull lines is, "Children are disgusting. I'm glad I never was one." She's got some of the best one lines in this.
Yeah, like,
I love them.
Danny DeVito's character has like a couple, and so does Rhea Perlman. Rhea Perlman has like one or two here and there.
Yeah, they're really well written, those characters.
Yeah, they're very like two-dimensional, but they're good two-dimensional.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they play it up well.
See, the issue that I have with some films is that like you've got these two-dimensional characters that are trying to be three-dimensional.
Yeah.
But these characters aren't trying to be three-dimensional at all. You see is what you get.
Mm.
Like, Rhea Perlman's character is like, you know, just like, yeah, yada, yada.
Bit of a ditz.
Yeah, a bit of a ditz. Not 100% sure of whatever. And then, like, you've got Danny DeVito, who's like the scumbag salesman.
Yeah.
Not afraid to, like, rip people off, but also thinks really highly of himself.
Mm.
And you got Trunchbull, who hates kids, but somehow is a principal.
You know what? I believe it.
Yeah.
I've seen some principals. I've had a few in my time.
Yeah. But yeah, and so like, and then she's also that really aggressive, and she's, like you said, she's basically a horror monster.
Yeah.
Every shot of her is up, basically, for the first. And like, I'm not just talking about like slightly up. I'm talking like they put the camera of the ground tilting upwards, basically, and that's your perspective of Trunchbull when she first appears.
Yeah, she is maximum fear factor in that film.
And they do the same with Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito looks like a giant in parts.
Compared to Matilda, at least, yeah.
Yeah, no, but also
which is
like,
part of it, I think. It's about showing like the adults with authority.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, eventually like he gets lower and lower because Matilda just stops caring because she knows they're idiots.
Yeah.
And can't do anything to her.
Mm.
Like, they tell her to go to her room, and she's like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm out.
This is something really, like, it's once again about Roald Dahl's hate, like, seeming disgust of TV, where Danny DeVito's like, come on, put the book away. We're having family time. Family time means we eat dinner and watch the TV mindlessly and stare into the glowing void.
Yeah, I mean, like, also, like, to be fair, though, yeah, it's similar to, like, how the whole Mike TV thing. He's obsessed with Westerns.
Yeah, it does remind me a lot of Mike TV. Like, it's that negative interpretation of what television is, where it's just you stare into you stare at the pretty lights and life passes by.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, it seems like he doesn't really like the audiovisual medium at all.
No,
he's much more into books, which, you know, he's a writer. He's entitled to.
Yeah, and
no, kids, don't watch this movie. Read the books. Although I do find the choice of Moby Dick as like a motif in this film throws me off a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Just because I don't know why you would have like Moby Dick being the book she reads in the like as it leads into the credits.
Yeah,
because I don't see any similarities in the themes between Moby Dick and Matilda. Like, if it were an allegory for that book she's reading, I would have hoped that would be the case.
You know what? I forgot something. Roald Dahl wrote a lot for TV.
Really?
Yeah. So he also wrote a lot for like TV and movies.
I know a lot of his stuff's been adapted.
Because he wrote You Only Live Twice.
Interesting.
He also wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yep.
But to be fair, that makes sense considering they're both by Ian Fleming.
Yeah.
Here's a little fun fact.
Oh, I love fun facts.
Broccoli originally wanted the rights to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm.
And then he managed to get that. He's like, all right, you want also get Bond?
Oh my God.
Or one of the other was chat thrown in too.
Yeah. So it's like a package deal. It's like Harrison Ford saying, yeah, I'll do another Star Wars movie, but only if I get Indiana Jones as well.
Yeah, disgusting. But yeah, no, it was definitely one of those things where, yeah, it was because they're both written by Ian Fleming.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a little cheeky fun fact. Yeah, so he wrote the BFG TV movie as well. Like,
yep.
To be fair, that's him. But they apparently didn't like him as Roald Dahl was inconsistent as a writer for Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he wouldn't hand things in on time.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, he definitely
writers, all of them.
He also was in Tales of the Unexpected, which is a TV show that he made.
Okay.
Yeah, so like for someone who doesn't like TV and like in his books,
yeah,
I think he's more like wanting kids to be wary of the whole TV fad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you could have said it was a fad back then, maybe.
Yeah, like, he wants kids to, like, not give up reading. He wants kids to, like... I think the whole thing is, like, he's, like... Every time he shows someone with TV, they're obsessive about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's bad. But, like, people who watch TV on occasion, not so bad.
Well, the thing is, a lot of the time he seems to be showing is that there's a difference between just putting on an engaging...
Yeah.
And, like, there's a difference between engaging with the medium and...
staring into the void.
Yeah, and just... like letting you having it as a distraction,
yeah,
and that seems to be the difference he shows, where Matilda engages with the books and she's engaging herself and using her imagination, absorbing them, and meanwhile, is her father actually paying attention to the mindless dribble on the TV?
Yeah, exactly that. It's one of those ones where it gets like really blurred with the lines and stuff, and also, and I think it also comes down to like a lot of the shows they show are pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Like, Mike TV in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is into westerns.
Yeah.
Which weren't a well-respected genre.
No. Also has a fascination with guns, which is worrying.
Yeah, also because he's American.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Then you've got, in Matilda, like, they're watching that...
Let's get sticky! All right.
They're watching some weird TV, and so that's not, like, educational at all.
Yeah. I know the name of the actor, but I see him a lot.
What, the Let's Get Sticky guy?
Yeah. He's very familiar, and it's like the perfect role for it. I think he's in a lot of like early Adam Sandler stuff.
Oh, it's Paul Rubens. Oh, it's Pee-wee Herman. Oh, wait, is it John Lovitz? Lovitz.
Let's find out. Go to the Google.
Yeah, I'm Googling it now. Childhood Assembly. There's a lot of childhood assemblies.
I mean, you see their assembly scene? There's like 60 kids there. Whole school, then Miss Honey has like a third of the entire student body.
Yeah, sure. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it's John Lovitz. Yeah, $1 million sticky host.
Good God. I don't know why that scene where the TV explodes is so traumatic, but it is.
Yeah, John Lovitz has been in a few episodes of The Simpsons.
Yep.
Yes, that's, yeah, the voice, yeah. Good old...
It stinks.
It stinks. It stinks. It stinks. Yes, I know, Mr. Sherman. God, man, that's such an awful episode.
Really?
It's no crossover episodes.
Oh, okay. Fair.
It's Matt Groening took his name off that episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you ever watched the opening credits and where it says developed by,
yeah.
Matt Groening's name is taken out for that episode because he didn't want it to exist.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's, I remember it was like a little Simpsons trivia thing. It's like, what episode is this? And that's all they showed, that screenshot. I was like, how do you tell? Isn't this like all the others? And then someone's like, one of the comments was, it's this one because Matt Groening's name isn't on the box.
Huh.
Because I think it was like Sam Simon and the other two were doing it.
Yeah.
And they wanted it to happen. So he was just like, all right. And it's
out of my hands.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. That episode as a whole is good. But like crossover episodes. Meh.
I wonder if he had any attachment to the Family Guy Simpsons crossover.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, at that point, I'm not sure what's happening.
I mean, at that point, I think he
also stepped back a lot at that point.
True.
He stepped back a lot.
Too busy working on Disenchantment.
Yeah.
Don't like it?
Nah, it's not as good.
Oh, it isn't, but it could be good.
No, maybe. Who knows?
Second season's better.
As always.
I mean, it's true.
But yeah, you got anything else to say about Matilda?
Only the one more scene I want to talk about just because it's fun. The scene where Danny DeVito's restoring, I'm using air quotes there, a used car.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Like, that scene where he just goes, it's $100 on the windshield, which that looks like a less than $100 car. It's a scrap body.
Yeah.
But he just, like, writes 2 zeros on it.
Yeah.
And then after that's just a montage of, like, here's how we practice our scumbag trade. Instead of welding the bumpers on, because let's be honest, that takes time, we use super, super glue. Then used to be able to turn the numbers back by hand. Now we can use a cordless drill. And he just rotates the odometer back.
Yeah. Where was that in Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Where was that?
Yeah. Come on, kid. You just gotta know what to do.
Yeah, you don't reverse it. You just dwell it back.
Yeah. And then he's sticking sawdust in the transmission so it sounds nicer.
Yeah, it's...
So it doesn't grind so much. Yeah,
so much scumbag. Hive of scumbag and villainy.
It's like this uber scumbag move where it's like, how does anyone get away with that?
Like, Trunchbull's car, like, breaks down really super into the early in the film.
When Matilda and Ms. Honey are sneaking through a house, it breaks down and then she picks it up and turns it around.
Yeah.
What a fucking monster.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where, like, there's only so much you can do.
Hmm.
But, you know, it's just dumb, like, how bad the cars are.
Yeah, dude, they're awful. I kind of wish we got more of, like, just car, like, just shots of, like, cars in the street breaking down.
Yeah.
Like, just, or bump, or like, a bumper falling off.
Yeah, just, like, a cheeky bumper falling off, and it's like, oh, yes.
One of your dad's cars, huh?